If you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Psalm 139, as I promised Owen when we were praying for him. And just going to read you a few verses out of there. Probably some of the most famous verses out of the Psalm. And it says this, verse 13. We're going down to verse 18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in my mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Do you know this morning that God created every single one of us unique? If you look at the person next to you, you may believe that statement. Okay, and there is only one of all of us. We are created unique, and some of us seem more unique than others. Okay, some of us have that kind of tendency, that randomness and all that kind of, I'm not looking at anyone in particular. but we are all unique, and I love that about God. He does not make two of us the same. And this morning, you know, I want to tell you this, that you are at your best when you live in your uniqueness. When you operate in the unique gifting that God has given you, you are at your best. Have a think of what that unique gifting might be. Write it down. Because when you use that, when you operate in that, when you allow the Holy Spirit to get a hold of that, something incredible happens. You know, this morning, as I look across, you know, there are unique things about all of us. Paul is unique. I think you would all agree with that, okay? And Paul just has this randomness about him. If you've ever spent any time with Paul, you will know that, okay? We used to watch telly every Wednesday night, Liz and Paul, Matt and I. We'd go through a series of something. We'd just spend some time together. And Paul's randomness would usually kick in around 10:30 when the oldies are wanting to go to bed, okay? So, like, his randomness would carry on. We would have brushed our teeth. We would have turned the lights out. We would have said goodnight. Paul would still be sat on the stairs, okay? And he would still be talking about anything and everything, okay? He's very unique. He has that randomness. But you know what? That uniqueness is what makes him great. When I come down to youth on a Friday night, okay, and I watch Paul operate, and I watch what he does, and I'll see him with a group of kids, and he can just, if they're in youth and they're not really joining in, or they're not really knowing anyone, or they're a little bit shy, or they're a little bit quiet, I watch Paul go into the room. And they come out different, whether they want to or not. Because his uniqueness, actually, when Paul allows God to use his uniqueness makes him who God needs him to be. And our uniqueness causes us to find our path, our destiny, and our reason for getting up every morning. Do you know this morning that those things that other people might not get about you are the very reason that God wants you here right now? Because your uniqueness, the things that other people might look at and say, that's a bit off the wall, or don't get that. Those things are the things that actually, when you allow the Holy Spirit to work on you, God does amazing things through you. God makes every single one of us unique. To walk in our uniqueness, we have to be aware of what that is and what God wants to do through it. You know, we are all made up of something called DNA. And all of our DNA is different. There is not one person who has the same DNA as someone else. It is unique. And I was looking at what DNA is, and it's this acid that I really tried in the last few days pronouncing, but I can't. I'm looking for the doctors at the back. There you go. That's what it is. Actually, just for the sake of the podcast, James.
Deoxyribonucleic acid.
There you go. I'm a Yorkshire lass. I couldn't get my head around that one. Okay. But that acid, okay, is the chemical that is present at the center of the cells of all living things. It controls the structure and the purpose of each cell and carries genetic information during reproduction. All of you have a DNA in you, have something in you that makes you you, that makes you what you are, that controls things, that carries forward, you know, when you reproduce after your own kind, that carries forward into them. And you know what? This morning, as a local house, we have a unique call to the town in which we live. We have a unique call. Some people may agree with that more than others, okay? But there is no other church like us in our locality. We have a DNA inside of us. We have a spirit inside of us that needs to control the structure and the purpose of everything that we do. The Holy Spirit within us needs to reproduce out of us people who are going to find God. I want to talk to us this morning about the unique calling that we have in the town in which we live, because it is different than any other church. Louth is different than any other town, okay? And we have our part to play in what God wants to do in this place, in this generation. Because everything God creates, He creates unique. What is it that makes us unique? What is it that makes our purpose and our calling to the surrounding neighborhood in which we live unique? I was trying to think about some of the things that are unique about our church. Some of the reasons that God has made us unique. I think our family feel is actually quite unique. We love families. We love the hustle and bustle of family life. We love, you know, kids being in and youth being in and older generations being in. And I just love all of that. I love the diversity that there is when generations come together, hence the name. Because actually it speaks of who we are now and it speaks of who we want to remain in the future. We want to remain a church that is open to every generation, that has that feeling of family. Because from the youngest to the oldest, there are people in here that need that. And so there's that family feel. I think it's quite a unique thing. There's all generations in our church. I was chatting to somebody just this week, you know, talking to them about the fact that, you know, we've got Sammy, who's a couple of weeks old, up to the older generation. I'm not going to point anybody out. But we've got every generation in our church, and I love that. I love the fact that every generation feels welcome. You know, our surroundings are unique. We live in a small town, yet we don't have a small vision. That makes us unique. You know, we're a small town church with more of a city vision for what we want to accomplish for God. You know, it makes us unique in the area in which we live. Because you know what? I don't just want to go all along with the status quo. I don't just want to keep us plodding on and everything's going to be okay. Actually, we might be in a small town, but we need to have a big vision for what God wants to do. Because who knows what God can do in this place if we actually just let Him. We're unique. God has created us unique. Do you know, when Jesus lived on the earth, His mission was unique. And everything that Jesus did, He did with one thing in mind: to fulfill the mission that was on His life. Everything He did, from the small things to the massive things, He did so that He could fulfill the mandate that was on His life. And nothing stopped it. People didn't stop it. You know, Jesus came up against that many people, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all of those others, E's, that we sing in children's songs, okay? He came across all of those people, and they all had something to say about what He should do, yet He knew what His mission was. And nothing that they said deterred Him from what He knew His mission was. So He didn't let people deter Him. He didn't let opinion deter Him. Everyone has an opinion on everything. But actually, Jesus went, this is my mission. I don't care what your opinion is. This is what I'm here to do. This is why I'm alive. This is the mandate on my life. This is what I am here to do. And He did everything He was meant to do. And He focused His life on the end goal, which was you and me. I'm glad Jesus stayed focused and didn't try and go off and do John the Baptist's job or someone else's job. I'm glad Jesus stayed focused on the mission that He was here to fulfill. How many times do we go off on a tangent because of some great idea or because of something that someone else has said or the opinion of someone else, and all of a sudden we change everything when actually we should stick to the unique call that God has given us, both individually and corporately? How many times do I know the mandate of God over my life, yet someone says, but I think you should do it this way. I think you should do that. I think this would be a good thing for you to do, Joe. And all of a sudden, my mind gets racing. I lose time. I waste time thinking of things that actually God never meant for me. Doesn't mean they're bad things. Just means they're not for me. And so this morning, I want to look really at who we're going to be, what we're meant to be about, and what God's unique call on our life is. So why are we here? I heard a few weeks ago that we should always be confident in our why. Why are we here? Why does Generations Church exist? We exist for four reasons. We exist to build the church, to equip the people, to reach the community, and to empower the future. Those are the four reasons that we exist, and everything that we do needs to fulfill at least one or two of that criteria, if not all of them. Everything we do needs to come out of those things. We need to build the church, equip the people, reach the community, and empower the future. And you know what? If we do that, God will do the rest. If we do that, we will create something incredible in the life of our church. If we will do that, we will create the church of our dreams. If we will do that, God will bring, I believe, hundreds of people to find him. If we stick to our mandate, if we stick to what makes us unique and the call of God that is on our life. You see, my mandate in life is three things, and everything I do usually has got these three things involved. Number one, it's to bring freedom. Okay, freedom for people from whatever is holding them back, whatever is going on in their world. The mandate of my life is to bring freedom. The second one is to bring beauty, especially out of bad situations. And then the reason the mandate is over my life is because I've seen God do it with me time and time again. The beauty for ashes. The beauty when stuff has gone wrong, when life has happened, actually it's the beauty for ashes. And the last thing that is a mandate over my life is to help people find out what their true destiny is and to go and live it. I can remember when I was youth pastor quite a few years ago and they put me down to preach, they knew what would come out at the end. And so they'd all kind of sit there and go, okay, we'll just wait for destiny. And there was a point in our church where the moment I mentioned the word, I would see our leaders just go, there we go, she's off, she's doing it. It doesn't matter what topic they gave me to preach on. It could be like the temple in the Old Testament, and I would turn it around somehow to preach about your destiny. And they'd just kind of give that nod, she's found a way in, she's got a loose link, and she's going to go for it. Because that's the mandate over my life. And as it's the mandate over my life, it will be the mandate over this house. So we're going to look at those four things that we are here to do. And then we're going to believe that we're going to do it. Anyone with me? Okay. So number one, we're here to build the church. Matthew 16, verses 17 to 19 says this. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock," which was the confession of the fact that he said Jesus was the Son of God, "on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Tell you something that I'm really glad about this morning is the fact that Jesus says he will build his church. Anyone else? Breathe a sigh of relief when Jesus says that. Okay. Jesus says, "I will build my church," but this is the catch. He uses you and me to do it. Okay, this is not just Jesus just from up in heaven going, "I'm just going to do it all and you're going to enjoy the ride." Okay, actually, when Jesus says, "I will build my church," okay, he is putting us in place to build it alongside him. This house is not going to be built just by Jesus doing things. Jesus wants to use you and I. He wants to use you and I to build his church. Everything we do in our church should be about building the kingdom of God. You see, this is the deal. The church should reflect the king and the kingdom that it serves. We should reflect the king, which is Jesus, and the kingdom, which is heaven, that we serve. When we say build the church, we're not saying build ourselves a name. We're not saying just build a good time for us. We're saying, actually, God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, whatever you have got for us, we are ready to do. We want to build the church of your son. We want to build the church in the town of Louth, in the neighborhood that we live, in the community that we serve. Do you know what? It's our time. It's our time now to build the church. What has gone before is brilliant. What will come is going to be brilliant. But right now, today, it's you and me. It's our watch. It's our turn. And actually, we should get it into our spirits that the reason we are here, the reason you go to work tomorrow, the reason you're in school tomorrow, the reason that we go wherever we go, everything about us should be about building the church, should be about serving the King and the kingdom that we belong to. You know, Generations Church, we're not just here to have a nice time on a Sunday. We're here to build the church. It's why we exist. It's why God has asked us to be in the place that we are in. You know, we can't build just out of what has been. We can't build just out of our memories. We've got to build out of an imagination that comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, this morning, let's imagine, what do we want church to be like? Then it's up to us to build it. Sometimes I sit down with a blank piece of paper, which is always a dangerous thing. And I begin to write down the church that I see, the church that I believe. And then God reminds me at the end of all of that, that actually me partnering with him, it's up to us to build it. But you know what? Then I look at the piece of paper again and I'll have all of things written down and I begin to write more. Because I actually know us plus God, us plus the Holy Spirit can do all of that plus whatever else he tells us to do. We're here to build the church. We're here to build the church and let our town know that Jesus Christ is alive. Do you know, we're not called to just build God's church through transfer growth. We're called to build God's church through people getting to know Jesus for the first time. And my heart is that our church becomes overrun with people who don't yet know God so that they can have an opportunity to find God. And that in itself will bring its problems and will bring its mess. But I heard this week that we're not called to catch clean fish. We're called to catch people with all of their mess, with all of their stuff. And then we're called to go on a journey with them, however long it takes. Some people will come in and their transformation will be instant. And some people will come in and their transformation might take a little longer. A little while longer. For some of us, our transformation, for all of us actually, our transformation is never complete until we get to heaven. And this is what the Bible tells us, that from the moment we get to know God to the moment we get to heaven, God is preparing us for that time. He's preparing us for eternity. And so I want to say to us that as we build the church, we're going to build it with people that are not perfect. We're going to build it with people whose growth might be slow in your eyes, but who cares? You know what? We're building the church. If people are getting to know Jesus Christ, we're building the church. It's our mandate. It's what we're here for. And I know my dad, for the whole of the time when I was little and at home, my dad's a brickie. He's not anymore, but he was. He was a brickie by trade. And my dad would go out messy. And he would come home messy. He would make the house messy every time he did work on it. Okay, basically, we were just one big mess for the whole of my life. And, you'd kind of come in and my dad would leave his mucky boots in the middle of the kitchen floor. My mum still receives prayer for that sometimes. And, but everything about it, I remember when we moved into the last house that I lived in when I was at home. My parents moved house 3 weeks after I left. Thankfully, they did give me the next address. But I can remember when we moved into the house that was kind of my home as a teenager and all that, we went in and it was a 5-bedroomed house that we made into a 4-bedroomed house because my brother had a snooker table. So we went up into the attic, which was 2 rooms, and it was like, Dad, my snooker table won't fit. And so my dad said, it's all right, mate, we'll just knock the wall down. Not a problem. So I went up, my dad knocked the wall down, mess absolutely everywhere, and he made the room how my brother wanted it. I got like the little box room. My brother's bedroom was probably about 10 times the size of my bedroom. Not that I was bitter, okay? And when I was about 13, my brother had this great idea that we would swap bedrooms. It was great until I realized that the deal meant his girlfriend had to share my room. Okay, whenever she stayed at our house, which was quite often. And I do love my sister-in-law, okay, but those years were quite trying at times. Okay, so we made this deal. So I went up into the room. When my brother left, I'm like going to my dad, it's a little bit big, this room. And my dad looked at me. He's like, well, we'll just build the wall back up, okay? And so I can remember, like, in our house, it was always messy. There was always a project going on. There was always a wall being knocked down or plaster being ripped off and all that kind of stuff. It's messy. Do you know what? Building is messy. If you don't believe me, just go and live in the same house as a builder while they're doing it up. You will find we're just starting to do our whole stairs and landing up. It's messy. You walk in and it doesn't look picturesque because there's wallpaper off the wall and all of that kind of stuff. Do you know what? Building the church is never clean. It's always messy. But three things we need to do to build our church well. Number one is we need to have patience. It's not all going to happen overnight. It's going to be a journey. God is going to take us on. As we build the church, we need to be patient. Number two is we need to have resilience. Not everyone is going to get what we're building. Not everyone is going to like what we're building, but we're still going to build it. Not everyone is going to want us to do that, but we're still going to do it anyway. Because God is the one we serve, not man. And we need to get some resilience in us. And the third thing that we're going to need is we're going to need faith. Do you know what? Sometimes the path will be easier, but let me tell you this, Generations Church, we are not called to easy. We are called to faith. We're not called to take the easy path all the time. We're called to take the path that is going to stretch us, that is going to stretch our faith, that is going to stretch our belief systems, that is going to stretch everything in us. But that's the path that we're called to. We're not called to just build a nice club. We're called to build the church. A living testament of who Jesus Christ is. A living testament where people can come and find God, find a relationship with Christ. So we need patience, resilience, and faith to do that. So we're here to build the church. Are you all with me so far? Secondly, we're here to equip the people. Ephesians 4:11-12 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We equip to build the church. Kind of come full circle. You know, we're here to equip people to live out their life, to live out their faith in the community that God has given us. How do we do that in our church? You know, we do it, number one, through connect groups. They're designed to help you live out your faith with a small group of people. If you're not in a connect group, let's find you a connect group, okay? We are called to live out our lives together. Connect groups are there to support you, to strengthen you when times are hard. Connect groups are not about teaching. They're about applying what we teach in the lives in which we live. And I don't know about you. I tell you, I love my connect group. My connect group rocks. My connect group is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. There's 30 of us. In my connect, it's not that small, really, is it? And we eat together, and there's food all over the floor afterwards, and we all clean it up together, and we look at how we serve God together. The kids come up here, have an absolutely phenomenal time up here with some of our youth who come and help us, and they just come out, have a great time. And as parents, we sit down and we talk through life and we talk about God, and it's just absolutely incredible. I love my connect group. I would hate to do life without them. So we equip people by giving you support. It's where your pastoral support will come from. You know, we're getting to the size where your pastoral support will probably not come from me, although I do love you and I do care for you. But this many people in church, I can't do all of that. Not because I don't care, not because I don't want to, just because I physically can't do it. But your connect leaders can. Because there's only 6 or 7 of you, or 18. We need to deal with some of these issues. We're getting too many people in connect groups. We need to start some new ones, okay? And because that's where pastoral support is going to come from. That's where your help and your strength and those people that you're going to talk to about how you do life, it's where it's going to come from. So we do it through our connect groups. We do it through our Sunday teaching. We equip people through our Sunday teaching, a place where the whole family comes together. And we're all taught, and we're all collectively taught something. You know, last week, we were looking at the whole thing of offense and how we deal with it. And Sundays is just a time where we bring the whole family together. And we just deal with issues together. It's a great, great time and a great place for us to be. You know, the events that we do are things that will equip you to live your life, because you all have a unique call on your life. You're not just part of the church, you're you. And that place that you go into tomorrow morning, wherever that might be, you need to be you in that place, and God needs to shine through you. And so we want to equip you to do that. You know, guys, the things that are there for you guys, you know, I heard the last Momentum event was absolutely fantastic. I heard health and safety went through, well, there wasn't any. Pretty much no health and safety. But it was guys being guys, and they had a great time, okay? And Neil, the strong man, okay, who can kind of, you know, with three hits get the nail into the wood, and just absolutely incredible. Okay, but guys, you just have a great time. You know, the men's breakfast, it's all places for you to connect into, for you to be equipped, and it's stuff that is tailor-made for you. You know, for our women, the crowned events that we've got going on, you know, the Crown for Life Bible studies, the social events that we have throughout the year. And you know, in the future, the stuff that we want to do, you know, the equipping that we want to do. We want to equip you to have a great marriage. We want to equip you in the whole area of parenting. We want to equip you on how to live your life out for Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, the thing is, with this equipping side, it's not down to our leadership. It's down to you being equipped. You know, and so these things that there are, it's down to you getting there and actually becoming equipped. You're not going to live your life for God by never getting into the areas of church life where you need to be fed to go out and do what God's called you to do. Oh, it's gone quiet. Because actually the equipping part we think is down to the leadership, and actually it's not. It's down to us to put the stuff on. It's down to you to come and to become equipped in those areas. It's down to you to diary things in. Because we might be a church in a small town, but we've got a heck of a lot going on. It's down to you to diary things in, to make sure you're around, to make sure that you're available. Because I know those times when God has come and equipped me has been times when I've just gone, God, I'm just going to make myself available. I was at AOG conference this week, and if I'm honest, on Tuesday, I was going, Lord, please just let everything work out tomorrow morning, because I'm setting off at 6:30. Math sets off to work at 7:30. The kids have got to be in school at 9:00. Lord, please just let everything that I've kind of sorted out work really well. And you know, maybe as mums know it more than anyone, you kind of have those fret moments, don't you? And usually it's those things that stop you doing anything. It's those things that make you go, no, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth the hassle. Just stay at home. You take the kids. Just get the CDs. So glad that I didn't do that. So glad that I went to get equipped. Because do you know what? It is so important that we put ourselves in places where God can equip us. Thirdly, we're to reach the community. Our heart has always got to be to reach our community through practical acts of kindness. And you know what? This is all in the melting pot for us at the moment with the things. We've always had youth and kids and all of that kind of stuff, but this is all in the melting pot for us at the moment. You know, we came to you a couple of years ago with something called Project Hope, and for one reason and another, that was just put on a back burner. Well, it's coming back to the front burner, and because we just want to be a light in our community. I don't know about you, I want to be a light. I can't wait to stand in my daughter's school playground and give out stuff that's not just about Christian aid, but about God. It's going to be great. It's called reaching our community. And actually, each one of us, every single day, can do that. Each one of us, as we go to our workplaces, as we walk through town, as we, you know, are next door to our neighbors, as we live on the street that we live, as we stand in the school playground, as we sit at Play Factory for another birthday party. Every single one of us can reach our community. You don't need a church program. You don't need something programmed by someone else to go and reach your community. But we are going to have those things. And we are going to have the projects for you to get involved with. And we are going to have those things that are going to shine a light into our community, into the areas that we know are needed. So Project Hope is coming back onto the front burner. Because you know what? Our unique gifting to our town will be the way that we share and show the practical love of Jesus Christ. Because we know, most of us in here this morning, we know what God has done for us. We know the message that we have. We know the gospel. We know Jesus Christ. And we know that at some point someone told us. You know, I thank God for people who worked in my church when I was a kid and who told me about the love of Jesus. Who not only told me, but who showed me. Because I got a chance to get to know him. Do you know what? Every place that you tread your feet tomorrow, there are people who need a chance to get to know Jesus, to get to know this God that we are talking about. You know, we're here to bring hope. Because not many other things in this world are bringing hope. Our political system isn't bringing hope. Our education isn't bringing hope. Our welfare system isn't bringing hope. And I'm not making a political statement there. I'm just saying that's the world in which we live. I actually think whoever was in charge at the moment, they will have a very hard job to bring hope into the world in which we live. But we have something that withstands the test of time. We have a message and something to bring into our community that goes far beyond and far above any political system, any welfare system. We have the hope that Jesus Christ gives us for eternal life, but not just about eternal life. We have the hope that God gives us in the life in which we are living. There are testimonies inside this room of what God has done at those moments of your life when hope has seemed quite dim. There's testimonies of when God has healed you. There's testimonies of at that 11th hour, God has come through with the finance. There's testimonies of marriages that have been healed. There's testimonies, you know, of people, you know, who were on the brink of suicide and actually God has brought them back. There are those testimonies within our church because we have hope. Because our hope goes beyond everything else. Are you with me this morning? Our hope goes beyond everything else. It's anchored, it's safe, it's secure, and we have that message to give to our community. And sometimes it's going to be through events, and other times it's going to be through giving them a school uniform for their child, and other times it's going to be through a meal, and other times it's going to be through some other practical way of helping them. But however it is, what we're doing is giving them the hope that we already have. Because in a world that has no hope, I have hope. I'm not pinning it on any political party. I'm not pinning it on any law coming in or any law being passed or not being passed. I'm pinning it on the one who's given me hope since day one. I'm pinning it on the one who, when he created the world, he created it to have hope. He didn't create it to be lost and in despair. And so we're here to reach the community. And then lastly, we are here. And this is the one that I really grab a hold of. We're here to empower the future. Do you know what you do today will impact tomorrow? The faith that we can find today will impact tomorrow. The things that we say and speak into our lives and the life of our church today will impact its tomorrow. You know, 80 years ago, or thereabouts, our church met in this hall. And they were offered the chance to buy it. I wish we'd have been offered the chance to buy it at the price they were offered it. They said no, and I'm not calling back then or anything. We have a great heritage in our church of God just coming through for us time and time again. But for whatever reason, they said no, and they moved us into a back street. Out of the way of anywhere. And the journey that we have had to do and that we continue to do to be sat in the place that we are sat right now, okay? I don't want future generations to look back at us and think, if only they had the faith. If only they've had the faith for this, then we'd be sitting in a different place right now. If only they've had the faith for this, then maybe this is where we would be right now. Do you know what? Today we are here to empower tomorrow. We are here today to empower the generations of tomorrow to take this thing further than we will ever know, think, or imagine. You know, I was kind of thinking about it. I've realized just in the last couple of weeks, since I preached at youth, actually, that I'm not one of the youth anymore. Took a while for me to catch up with that. And go away and read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in the Message version. That's what Liz gave me to preach on in youth, which basically talks about your friends planning your funeral and your hair growing white, okay? Those weren't the verses she exactly wanted me to preach on, but I just carried on reading. And so kind of realized that actually, if I look in the natural, I've got 20 years left at this. Okay? But look in the natural at the age that most people, I don't think I'm ever going to retire. I've kind of come to terms with that. I don't know if math has, but I've kind of come to terms with that. But I've probably got 20 years left. If God doesn't call me anywhere else or nothing happens, you know, I want to impact something now that in 20 years' time when I hand it on to the next generation, they're going to be glad that I'm handing it on to them. They're going to be glad that this generation of leaders have made the decisions that they made. They're going to be glad that this generation of church, because it's not down to just leadership, has made the decisions of faith that they have made, because actually what they get is something incredible. I was sat with my 6-year-old daughter the other day. Her hair had gone wild, so I made her have it straightened. And Caitlin always looks like she's been dragged through a hedge backwards. And her hair is always just all over the place. She refuses to brush it, which is why it's short. And I was sat straightening her hair, and she's kind of looking in the mirror. She went, "Mummy, I know what we should do." And I always kind of go, "Oh, yeah," at those moments with her. She said, "I think when you're older, you should become a hairdresser and I should lead the church." I was like, "Don't know about the hairdresser bit, love, but you want to lead the church? Let's bring it on." You know, 20 years time, you're going to be 26, okay? And that isn't me being all prophetic. But you know what? I love it when kids get a hold of something. That's not the first time she's said that to me. We were doing mission the other week, and Liz was kind of pouring all of her time into mission and all that. And Caitlin kind of looked at me and she said, "Mummy, I think we should give Auntie Liz 10 weeks off after mission. So Liz amends the whole, I'll become the leader and you can be the hairdresser, Mum." Okay? And she's like, "If she's going to give me 10 weeks off after mission, I'm all for that." Okay? But the thing is, you know what? The generation that are growing up, we need to help them and empower them today for what they're going to become tomorrow. Do you know what? I'm going to begin to really empower that side of Caitlin. And maybe it might not be the house of God that she's a leader in. Maybe it's going to be somewhere else. But that leadership skill that she has got, I want to begin to empower that. I want to begin to grow that in her. I want to see some of you begin to grow that into your kids. Do you know what? Kids don't come to church to endure the first half an hour and then get what they want. Do you know what? The Holy Spirit is wherein worship can fall on your kids and can empower them to live the life, not just tomorrow, but today. We're going to be making some changes to the way we do the first half an hour, and because we want to teach our kids to worship. And so we're going to provide a struggle sometimes with worship. What can I do to empower them and to allow God to speak to them, to fill them, to give them the future that they deserve and that he has got for them? Because Jeremiah 29:11, we all know it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and to give you a future." Do you know what? God has plans for our future, but we have to play our part in empowering those plans to become reality. God's not just going to take over everything and do it. He wants our cooperation. That's what this morning's all about. That's what our offering is all about. It's our cooperation with God for the plans that he has got for the house that we are in. And this morning, I just want to come and say, do you know what? It is an absolute honor and a pleasure to lead in this house, a house that I have seen rise so many times for their God-given destiny. A house that goes, you know, we're not going to look at what we don't have. We're going to look at what we do have. A house that kind of says it doesn't matter what the trend is. This is where we're going. This is where we're heading. And we're not going to let anything stand in our way. And I love leading a house like that. I love being in a house like that. I've been privileged to be in that house for the last 20 years nearly. And to watch as God, time and time again, as we cooperate with him, he comes and he meets every need that we have. He comes and he does what only he can do when we have played our part. And so in a moment, we're going to come and we're going to sow our seed. We're sowing a seed. That's it. As we give our offering in this next offering, we are sowing a seed. Because we're going to have to do this again at some point. And we're going to have to sow again. And we're going to have to sow another seed. And this is what I believe is going to happen, that as we sow our seed, that God is going to cause it to grow. I'm going to believe that as we give in this next offering, as we give to God, that that offering is going to allow us to do some of the things in reaching our community that we want to do. Because we're sowing a seed. And we know that at the moment, that seed that we're sowing has got to be used to lay foundations. You know, we've got an old building that we thank God for. Always. But actually costs us a heck of a lot of money. And so we know that this seed is foundational, but we know that as we plant this seed, as we give of our offering, that God is going to do something great, that is going to cause the landscape to change. That physically is going to cause our landscape to change. We're believing that this building can be finished and that we can do with it what we want to do. And for me, you know, that as we sow our seed, I would love to go out and buy all the pretty things. Don't know if you know the story, but we came to look around the building, and I was on the eldership at the time. I was the only girl. And even though I'm a Bricky's daughter, I don't really know much about building. So Lee and John and Phil were coming around, and they're knocking on walls, and is this all going to be fine, and all that kind of stuff. And they're doing that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're kind of looking at me, and I'm looking at the pillars outside of the church. And Lee looked to me. Lee knew me really, really well. Okay, and they're knocking on walls, and I'm kind of going behind them, knocking on walls. Not quite sure why I'm doing that. And then I'm just kind of stood with my arms folded, looking up. And Lee just looked at me, and went, "You're visualizing twinkly lights, aren't you?" Yeah. Okay. And we come inside. He's going, "You've chosen the color of the carpet, haven't you?" And I looked. I went, "Yeah, because you lot aren't doing that." Okay, and we go into rooms and we go, you've seen the layout, haven't you? Yep. Okay, and you know, and a lot of the offering that we give this morning, I know is going to become foundational, but there will come a time as we sow our seed, as God waters it, as God causes it to grow, as God does something absolutely incredible with us, where all of those other things will begin to happen, and it will begin to change our landscape. It'll begin to change what people see as they walk past, as they walk in. It'll begin to change what we can do as a church, the lives that we can affect, the schools ministry that we can get involved in, you know, the community things that we can do, the people that we can feed, the people that we can clothe. It's all going to be affected by what we give. And so this morning, are you ready to empower the future?